If we write books with a deep sense of responsibility, believing that the book is written for our future selves to read in the next life, then perhaps there would be fewer falsehoods in the world. And if the knowledge created within human civilization was such that its creator could honestly answer why it was conceived, then the culture shaped by this knowledge would not lead humanity astray. This quote might be a bit lengthy, but it came about while I was reflecting. I was searching for the why behind my own actions, which became the starting point for writing my book. We are Buddhists, but if we don't aspire for nirvana, how should we navigate our lives without going astray? Thanks to the 10th Gallama Sutta left by the Buddha, which states, "Do not believe, even if I myself said it," according to the Dharma transmission of Fra Dharma Kosakarya or Buddhadasa Bhikkhu. How do we build our knowledge if we don't aim for nirvana? The aforementioned knowledge quote is from my own creation. This message was conceived from the decision to write a book for myself in this and future lives nearly 20 years ago. Given my current perspective that in this lifetime, I have no desire to teach anyone anymore, all I can do is write. I write books and leave them for my future self to read in the next life, but this act also serves as a form of merit for others. Don't let your subconscious mind dismiss this vital information before your mind and soul reject the existence of this truth. Prosperity, something that everyone desires. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that all humans are different, and what we are discussing is just a set of knowledge that is being shared with us. Let us consider together. We are all different, but we are all talking about the same thing. What kind of person do we want to be? We have reached the point where we know that a profitable life is the cost of life. We have to exchange it for the ultimate desire of life, which is happiness and prosperity. Now we have come halfway, which is happiness. What remains is prosperity. What is the cause of prosperity? This question I want us to think playfully. If material prosperity means acquiring wealth, fame, or anything tangible, then what will make us acquire these things? In the world, what is obtained in prosperity? What is the cause? Many people may answer, hard work, ambition, diligence, persistence, having knowledge, thoughts, thinking, and various other things. Consider carefully and think progressively about whether what we say is the true cause of prosperity. Some hardworking people, construction workers, farmers, some diligent, do not seem to prosper. Those who are too ambitious may collapse in the end, and we have seen this. They have strived throughout their lives, journeyed to the highest positions, and in the end, even their own homes were not returned to. We know of these instances both in history and in the present. Having knowledge but still being poor, thinking a lot but going nowhere, what should be done? What is the true cause of prosperity? Let's consider another story from me. Once upon a time in a village, there was a problem of constant drought. The village didn't know what to do, so they sent people to other villages to learn. They sent them to many villages, distributing them all around. This made everyone in the village aware that to be a prosperous village, there must not be a problem with drought. Those villages all have wells, and the wells are a measure of the village's prosperity. Everyone knows now. Does the village have a well? It doesn't have one yet. So what should be done? The people of this village went to learn again, until everyone had knowledge in digging wells. Does the village have a well? Or if this village is fortunate enough to have a thinker, who can devise a way to dig a well, then goes and announces how to dig a well to everyone in the village, so that people will come to dig the well. Will the well be created? And when will the well appear? When a person stands up, feeling that without a well, everyone will surely suffer this year, he decides to dig a well, even though he could live more comfortably. A well will exist when people have knowledge of how they can dig it, and take the time to explain the methods to others. Or when people think creatively and suggest new ways for others to dig the well in their place. Or a well can be created when a person invests and restrains his own heart for the benefit of the village. This person is called a self-sacrificer, and when there is self-sacrifice, prosperity occurs in the village. Logically, a well can only be created when someone sacrifices to dig it, investing and restraining themselves for the benefit of the village, even without prior knowledge or thought about how to dig a well. But they invest their life to create a well because they see and believe in the benefits of it. Having a public well in the village is called self-sacrifice, and when there is self-sacrifice, prosperity arises in the village. looking at it from a public dimension, seeing the prosperity of the village. Self-sacrifice is the cause of the village's prosperity. The Ministry of Education should know this and adjust the education structure to have schools that produce self-sacrifices. Not just schools that emphasize knowledge and thinking, because even if we have many knowledgeable and thoughtful people, the village will not prosper until there are those who sacrifice. Note, this tale is about an ancient village where the structure of living together is based on relationships and not defined as work for anyone or any profession. Digging a well can happen in a time when the village's structure of living together is based on relationships. This makes it easier to see the cause of prosperity than in modern village structures that have clear functions. The subject of the structure of living together that includes relationships and functions is vast, and I will write another book for you to read later. For now, consider seeing the truth through a village structure that doesn't exist today, where the village lives together only through relationships without defining roles and functions, such as through various professions for the villagers. The sacrifice at a glance is that they could live more comfortably without having to suppress themselves. But they choose to suffer for the greatest benefit of the majority. This is the epitome of sacrifice. Before we consider whether, on a personal level, sacrifice is a cause of prosperity, let's continue the story of this village and see what happens. Once the sacrificing person gets up to dig a well, others who observe them might feel various things, such as admiration, thinking they're foolish, or indifference. It's not easy to have others start digging with us in real life. And this call to sacrifice isn't something announced. It only happens when we realize that the sacrifice truly has the highest benefit. As for those who don't see the utmost benefit of sacrifice, they must wait until they see others sacrificing more than themselves. Once they begin to feel the sacrifice, they will start to help dig the well, followed by another person joining the sacrifice. This group is likely to come from those who feel that's great, making them the first group, and then probably followed by those who are indifferent. As for the group that thinks how foolish to dig a well for others, for the public, why not dig for personal use at home, or dig to sell the water to make money? That would be more prosperous. At this point, why can't individual prosperity and collective prosperity start together? If we dig a well for the public, what do we get? If we dig a well for personal benefit or for business, we may prosper more. What should we do now? Now let's look at the individual dimension. Suppose we are stuck in self-interest, wanting prosperity only for ourselves. Would sacrifice still be the cause of prosperity? If we just lie idle, not digging a well for personal use or for business, we would be at ease. To have a well for personal benefit, we must sacrifice, giving up our laziness, our comfort. The benefits given by the Buddha can be classified into three levels. Level 1, personal benefit. Level 2, benefit beyond sight. Level 3, the highest benefit. Our sacrifices for which benefit level depend on our wisdom in recognizing different levels of benefits. Consider the case of digging a well. If we want to sacrifice just for our own benefit, unwilling to share or sell, keeping it for ourselves soon, when the drought comes and everyone has no water and they find out we have water, we may have to be more cautious, and in the worst case, we might be harmed for that water. If we look at the benefits beyond sight and the highest benefit, Uncle asked us to continue to consider among ourselves that what will be the result. At this point, many people might agree that sacrificing for the village leads to its prosperity. However, this sacrifice doesn't necessarily cause personal prosperity. According to the definition of the capitalist world, this approach is unlikely to be used at present. How can it be explained so we can feel that sacrificing can lead to our prosperity in a capitalist world? Uncle will tell another story, a real concept that once occurred in the history of Japan. It is a question from the chairman of an electrical appliance company, phrased like this. I saw people struggling to cook rice, so I created an electric rice cooker, even though at that time there were only two people in the world who could conceive an electric rice cooker. One person had the idea to produce rice cookers to make a high profit, while the other, the second person, was thinking about how to produce good quality, inexpensive rice cookers for many people to use. The aforementioned company chairman, who was the second type of person, at one time this company still demonstrated the prosperity of such a concept, and remained a leading electrical appliance company in Japan for a while, even after the chairman who posed the question had passed away. Let's consider how the second idea sacrifices to provide everyone with good, cheap rice cookers. He had to struggle more than the first person, had to think more, experiment more, be more industrious, frugal, and suffer more to reduce costs and improve products. He could have been more comfortable if he had thought like the first person, but he didn't. Many people might think that they do it because they want to be rich, and it's true. But even though they want to be rich, this example shows us that sacrifice, whether for collective benefit or self-interest, is still a form of sacrifice that cause of prosperity. This is an example of knowledge. This is to make us think further about whether sacrifice is really a cause of prosperity. Let's consider whether when we sacrifice something, force ourselves to do something, do we really prosper? For example, we could sleep, watch movies, read comics, but if we want to gain fame for getting the first place in the exam, we must strive and force ourselves to achieve personal prosperity in the capitalist world. If we want to consider feelings, we must try to think progressively until we see that if we gradually sacrifice the bonds that tie our hearts, how do we feel? Try to think about it. All that Uncle has said above is to make us see the cause of prosperity, both for others and for ourselves. Many people might say that selfish people who don't have to sacrifice can still get rich a lot. This goes back to the original point that people are different, and we have to decide what kind of person we want to be. And if our life needs happiness and prosperity as a profit in life, what kind of life will give us both things? How much we will sacrifice depends on how much we see the cause of our happiness. The level of the cause of happiness and prosperity that we see will tie us to think and make decisions in life. Every time, both Misty and Mimisty, if we consider carefully, we will begin to tend to see our own destiny, the path of our life. Being in a society with a heart or a dry society. Where do we want to be? We can choose to be there. Society has a variety. We can choose our society. And most importantly, if we are able to sacrifice, we can create a society with a heart of our own. Uncle calls the society where I want to live the society of givers, a society that gives. What Uncle doesn't want to see most is the sacrifices in a heartless village. When we sacrifice in a heartless village, there will always be people waiting to benefit from those who sacrifice. Then who will be able to sacrifice if we only have heartless villages? In today's society, there is a tendency for more and more people to sacrifice in heartless villages. This is because there are not enough examples of people who have sacrificed and achieved worldly prosperity. In order to make people see the benefits of becoming more sacrificial, those who make sacrifices must show them in tangible ways that shows worldly prosperity. After making sacrifices, they must demonstrate worldly success. Share the stories of what they have learned and practiced. Let others study, practice, and spread it further. When more and more people sacrifice in this way, villages with hearts will return and a peaceful and happy society will be created. Many people aspire to change the world and attempt to change others, hoping to make others and the world conform to their vision of the society they want to live in. I too was once one of those who thought this way, to the point that many considered me to be living in an idealistic world. But ultimately, my learning has told me that when we change, the world changes. We just need to start sacrificing for others. The prosperous world will happen in our hearts. When hearts and minds go in the same direction, when happiness and prosperity can walk together, we started to touch our own ideological world. As long as we have Sraddha, our ideal world will become the real world we live in. May we have a good heart enough to create their ideal world. Uncle Manamai JD, when Horsey and Hawkhead go together, our ideal world will become the real world we live in. True happiness comes from love, and the cause of prosperity comes from sacrifice. All of this demonstrates the truth of prosperity that doesn't develop from external things but occurs from within ourselves. Therefore, may we have a good enough heart and Sraddha to create our ideal world for ourselves to inhabit. In an era flooded with vast volumes of information, it's more crucial than ever to possess the ability to discern truth from fiction. As streams of data surge around us like tumultuous waves in an endless sea, a lone individual amidst a deluge of scattered information is attempting to find their way. The ability to navigate these waters becomes paramount. Without the vital skill to separate genuine information from falsehoods, our life's trajectory can be severely affected. As beautifully articulated in the truth quote from the book, Read Before the Meaning of Your Life is Lesser on page 204. In an era overloaded with information and a plethora of news, if we cannot revive such a skill, how are we to distinguish what is true from what is false? Reviving the human skill of creating knowledge is paramount for people to maintain the essence of life. This allows us to independently discover what is true or false. It is imperative not to be dismissive. Don't let your subconscious mind cast aside this crucial knowledge before your very essence rejects the reality of our current predicament. Don't let your subconscious mind dismiss this vital information before your mind and soul reject the existence of this situation. Let us not forsake the opportunity to seek solutions to this pressing issue. Read Before the Meaning of Your Life is Lesser.